I'm going to carry on the Beatitudes. And look at the third one this morning, Matthew 5:5. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And at first glance, again, this beatitude seems to make no sense with our Anglo-American cultured eyes and mindset. The meek are going to do anything, they're going to lose everything. Yeah, for our understanding of what meek means. So it's another apparently nonsensical saying, but Jesus said this. Jesus said it. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So we must believe. We must believe it. He wants us to understand it, and more than that, he wants us to live in the light of this. The Bible has been translated for hundreds of years into English by the scholars, and occasionally language shifts, even in recent years. Things get confusing. Somebody can look at a custom car or a custom motorcycle and say, "Man, that's bad. That's a bad motorcycle." But then, yeah, back in the day when I was a kid, you said that was a bad motorcycle, that was awful, you'd leave it iron. But now it's got credibility, it's kind of cool. It makes no sense. So sometimes language changes so much that we need to understand a particular word more accurately. And I think this is the case with the word meek. The current definition of meekness is humbly patient or quiet in nature as under provocation from others. It just seems really passive and pathetic. Humbly submissive or compliant, tame. And an obsolete meaning is gentle and kind. Meekness is definitely not celebrated. And as we saw in the previous one, I was talking about the previous two Beatitudes, that this "blessed are those" is a celebration, it's congratulatory. It's like, how blessed are they that are meek? Oh, the blissfulness of the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You know, this statement is a congratulatory one, because the poor in spirit will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn will be comforted by God. And this one, Jesus is saying, congratulating the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And our understanding of meekness isn't that. Because of our modern connotations, that one who's easily imposed upon, one who's submissive, spineless, ineffectual, subservient, weak, deficient in courage, all these things are our understanding of meek. And Jesus describes himself as in the King James, he says, I am meek and lowly. Or the NIV translates that, gentle and humble in heart. And the Apostle Paul speaks of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in 2 Corinthians. So if you wouldn't describe, you wouldn't say Jesus, we wouldn't be here, to be honest, if Jesus was easily put upon, spineless, ineffectual, weak, and deficient in courage. We wouldn't be here, would we? So there's something wrong. So our understanding of meekness just needs a tweak. To be honest, when I started preparing this talk, it was one of my least favorite beatitudes of me, because this is kind of put my mindset. And I'm kind of thinking, that's nonsense, but Jesus said it was true, so you've got to understand it. And by the time I finished doing this preparation, I was going, of course the meek inherit the earth, of course they do. It's obvious, isn't it? Not yet. So we need to understand meekness. And there are two commentators which I don't think quite have it, but William Barclay described the meek as always angry at the right times and never angry at the wrong times. It still seems to give the impression that somebody's meek's got anger issues. So I'm not sure that's quite right. And John Stott also stated that meekness is the mean, i.e. the median point, the middle point between being too angry and never being angry at all. And it's not a synonym for weakness. I still think this is like, we're going to judge that, quantify meekness by just how angry someone is and when they're angry. It's just still, I don't think it quite captures it. There was a bit, I found an article written by a chap called Sam Watley. I've never heard of him before, but I love this article. And he points out that the Greek word for meekness or meek is praus, and describes it as one of the great ethical words in Greek, and Matthew used this word in this beatitude. And it was used to define a horse trained for battle. And he's written his article, it's called Meek Like a War Horse. And he says this, and I love this. Wild stallions were brought down from the mountains and broken for riding. Some were used to pull wagons, some were raced, and the best were trained for warfare. They retained their fierce spirit, courage and power, but were disciplined to respond to the slightest nudge or pressure of the rider's leg. They could gallop into battle at 35 miles an hour. They could come to a sliding stop at a word. They were not frightened by arrows, spears, or torches. They were then said to be meeked. As centuries went by, the secret of training such animals was passed from the Greeks to the Roman legions, and then on to the Moors, the Spanish conquistadors, and finally the Austrian Empire. And we see a few war horse descendants today in the Lipizzana horses in the Spanish Riding School of Vienna. I'll come back to them. To be meeked was to be taken from a state of wild rebellion and made completely loyal to and dependent upon one's master. It is also to be taken from an atmosphere of fearfulness and made unflinching in the presence of danger. Some war horses dove from ravines into rivers in pursuit of their quarry. Some charged into the face of exploding cannons, as Lord Tennyson expressed in his poem, Charge of the Light Brigade. These stallions became submissive, but certainly not spineless. They embodied power under control, strength with forbearance. I love this. So blessed are those who are meeked like war horses, for they shall inherit the earth. This must make sense, doesn't it? We are meek like a war horse. We can conquer any foe with an army of such fierce, fearless, disciplined beasts. So I'll come back to these Lipizzana horses. These are the white stallions that are in this Spanish, ironically Spanish riding school in Vienna, in Austria. A few years ago, I took my sister to the Spanish riding school in Vienna. She loves horses. I mean, Katie really loves horses. And she's loved horses as soon as she could express any affection about anything when she was a youngest sister. And she would spend days upon days riding the fence at the bottom of the garden, pretending it was a horse, or galloping over jumps in the garden. It drove us mad, just to be honest. Anyway, I took her, just to bless her really, took her to Vienna to see the Spanish riding school. She was in heaven in Vienna. In the middle of Vienna, I don't know if you've been, but in the old city of Vienna, there's a lot of horses pulling carriages and things, which you can have a ride in if you're really wealthy. She was in heaven. To me, it smelled a bit of weed. Horse meat. There's a lot of horses in the city centre, and it smelled a bit. She thought it smelled like Chanel No. 5, but for me, not so much. She was in heaven. These horses, we went around the stables where they were storing these horses, and these horses are like rock star horses. You know, they're like they're young Roger Daltrey or Robert Plant, sort of long, curly, flowing locks, and they are gorgeous animals, gorgeous. And they feed them. Every horse has a different diet, you know, depending on what its particular needs are. They have muesli and molasses. You know, reading their menu outside their, what they're supposed to be fed outside their stalls, you know, I wouldn't mind that. You know, the fresh vegetables and molasses. You know, it was lovely, and they are magnificent animals. And there was a, if you go onto that website, they talk about how they train them, and because I'm using this as an illustration, because if you try to find, actually, to be fair, try to look at this, there are very few illustrations of meekness outside of the Bible. You try and find a story about a man who was meek. It goes, takes you straight back to biblical stuff. There's very little. It is not celebrated outside, really. There's some other religions that value sort of, you know, pacifism and meekness, but generally there's very little outside of the Bible. But I just want to illustrate the difference between being spineless, lacking in courage, and actually what I think Jesus meant, and what this word prowess that Matthew used in his Gospels actually means. So these riders, and the Spanish riders, they train these horses to do various kind of dressage events. I'm not into horses, dressage can be boring. But my sister was, we were watching this thing in this fabulous Spanish riding school, and they were doing this thing. And one of the first things they did, this little diagonal little trot, their horses went sort of diagonally across the sawdust. And she was enraptured straight away. She goes, that is such an unnatural thing for a horse to do, to cross its front legs like that and walk diagonally. It's so unnatural. And yet they're all doing it perfectly, and such discipline. And they would also train them in doing these. There are three particular battle moves that they would train these war horses in, which was like rearing up on their hind legs, and the riders would be on these horses, and they're enormous, these horses. And this is how they would, you know, go into battle. Or they would kick out backwards or kick forwards. And it's quite extraordinary. And even for someone who's not particularly horsey, and I'm not particularly horsey, my sister is, it was fantastic. Really, really, really amazing. But this, so this is a you have this picture of this war horse, this Lipizzana stallion, that gorgeous white animals. And there's lots of power there. But this, being meek like, I could be like that, I could be meek like one of them, because they're magnificent. But it only really holds true to the sentiment of what Jesus was teaching when we hold that image of this magnificent, powerful animal completely at one with, completely in tune with, and completely submitted to and trusting of its rider, its commander, in battle, no matter what. This is power under control. It's not power in reserve in case it all goes wrong and I can gallop out of the battle and get out of here. That's not what the meekness is. The meekness is this complete oneness with the rider who, and the guy who trained him, and the one it trusts and it would respond to the slightest word or the slightest nudge. And I think this is what Jesus wanted us to understand about being meeked. Letting your master lead and let him dictate the pace and the direction of travel. I know we, you know, God has been breaking out among us recently at prayer meetings and here on Sunday mornings. It's just been lovely. And we want to see more of this empowerment of his Holy Spirit. But we have to be in complete submission to God, I think, or it kind of goes wrong. We have to be meeked unto him. I don't know if that's a sentence. Maybe I just made that up. A very poor grammar. We need to be meeked unto God. There's this meekness unto him, being completely at one with him, completely in tune with him, his pace, his direction. Just to contrast it, I've got a motorbike, and the particular Harley Davidson, they have no end of modifications you can do to it. I mean, it is endless, how you can modify your bike, and there's an awful lot of modifications you can do to modify the engine, to, you know, give it more torque, more power, to make it faster and faster and faster, if you want to. And it's very appealing, because to be honest, to have a lot of power just at the flick of your wrist, it's lovely. It's really lovely. The problem is that all that power would be mine. And I'm not really to be trusted with it, because it would end up me either losing my license or losing my life. So power in and of itself it's great. And we're seeking this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We want to see more of him. We want more of him in our lives. We want to see more miracles. We want to see him moving. But we absolutely have to be at one with our Lord, and not just you know, step out and do what we want to do. It's otherwise, you know, you've got no. He has no control over us. We're just liabilities, I think. Now, I love power. I love the power of my bike. I love the torque that it has, and I would always want more. But it's best I don't. Best I don't right now. I just want to say that, yeah, as Jesus was saying, blessed are the meek, how blissful, how wonderful are the meek, because they are extraordinary, magnificent, wonderful people, utterly surrendered and obedient to God. Obviously they'll inherit the earth. Because the one who trained them, empowers them and guides them, of course they are blessed. Jesus, he was correcting Peter. Was it in Gethsemane when he said, could I not command 12 legions of angels? At one word. Was that Gethsemane, or was it when he was with Pilate? Forgive me. No, it's when he said, do you not realize that I could, at one word, I could command 12 legions of angels to come in? Or perhaps it was then. Should have looked this up, shouldn't I? It was Gethsemane. I should have looked it up, shouldn't I? I'm just struck by it. That, I mean, that's an example, I think, an example of his meekness, where he could have commanded 12 legions of angels, and any one of those, if they appeared here, would be like dead on the floor. He could have had 12 legions, thousands and thousands of angels at his command, and chose not to. He went to the cross, not because he was a doormat. He went to the cross to pay the price that had to be paid for all of us. And he marched into hell so that we don't have to. I've got some pictures. I'm just going to... Okay, look, I'm just going to try a bit of tech. And this could go horribly wrong. Inevitably. Bear with. I'm pretty much finished with words now, so I'm going to use pictures. This won't work so well. This won't work so well online. But sure, this won't go wrong. This is why Bluetooth was invented. Yeah, didn't have to have miles of cable dragged around the room. Bated breath. What's Rob going to bring up on screen? Nearly. Just. There we go. That's a meek horse. Isn't it glorious? Isn't that glorious? One with its rider. I don't even like horses particularly, but that, I think, is glorious. And we'll have another one. But we'll get a few of these. You can tell this is a stock image I've got off the internet because it's got watermarks all over it. Look at those guys. They're complete trust with the horse, and the horse's complete trust in them. They're just gorgeous animals. Look at them. They're magnificent. Magnificent. These are meek. Of course, look at him right. That says one of those battle moves I was telling you about. The meek horse. Okay, stunning. This is what that. I mean, you got to be at one with. Yeah, you know, horse and rider got to be one in heart and mind to do this sort of thing. This is a meek horse. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to go into battle with our commander leading us into battle, at one with him, trusting him, fearless. You couldn't even see the guy behind there. He's like, that's about how tall the rider is. Yeah, tiny, dwarfed by these magnificent animals. And that's the final one. That's the riding school. I sat about there. If those were still wild stallions, you would have a chance of, it'd be like herding cats. You wouldn't be able to get them to line up like that. Anyway, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Of course they will. Of course they will. Who can resist the meek when they're at the command of Jesus? And when we seek his infilling, when we seek his empowerment, we're seeking to be turned from, you know, the donkeys you see on the beach to something like a Lipizzan, a stallion. And this is the transformation the Holy Spirit brings. But we need... They were talking about how they train these animals. They're saying that, you know, the trainers and the horses are always at eye level. They're always at eye level, and they will train their horses in particular moves, and the horse will decide when it's ready for the next exercise. Which is, I don't want to take this too far because it has limitations, but I think Jesus will train us up in something, will take us on to something else, you know, when we're ready. And there's this gentleness. And he gives us the diet that we need to stay healthy, unique for us. Oh, I just thought that was a lovely, I'm really excited about being a meek war horse, meek like a war horse. But the key thing is in tune with him. Let's pray, and let's just, I don't know what the Lord wants to do, but I know he's here, and we can just ask him to come and minister to us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to be like that, meek like a war horse, just submitted to you. Trained for battle, empowered for battle, for warfare, unflinching in the face of adversity, unflinching in the face of the enemy. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. You would increase that boldness, but also increase that trust and that oneness with you, that we can walk with you, hear your voice, and respond to your nudges. Lord, I know that's what you want us to be like. Pray, Lord, you would pour out your Spirit on us to empower us to be all that you've created us to be, but also meek.